Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, June 1st, 2017. This is Kelly Hughes. I'm here today at Raven Landing interviewing Marianne Everhart. She's been gracious enough to tell us some of her stories. So I will start with asking you, Marianne, where you were born and when you were born.
I was born in Ladysmith, Wisconsin. And you want the year?
Yeah. Well, it's up to you.
1929. I was a middle child of 11 in the family. There were nine girls and two boys.
Oh, wow.
And we lived in a small town, Ladysmith. Went to school there, grew up there, lived there until I went to Milwaukee and worked in the mill print factory until I met my first husband, who also lived in Ladysmith, but I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And we were married in October 1948. And had two children we've lived in Milwaukee then, and we had two children in Milwaukee before we came to Alaska.
Oh, wow. Were you still working when you had the kids? Were you still working at the mill plant?
No. When I had the children, I was a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah. So was your town a farming town or no?
Oh, well, there were farming towns around there, little towns around there, like Conrath and Sheldon and Holcomb and small towns. And
so what did your parents do? What do you have any stories of your parents? What did your parents do for work?
My father worked at the paper mill there, and my mother stayed home and took care of her 11 children.
Right? That was a job in itself.
That was a job in itself,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you then came, after you met your husband and got married and had the kids, then you came to Alaska.
Right.
Okay. So why did you choose Alaska, of all places?
Well, Art was out of work. He was heavy equipment operator. He was out of work, and his mother was up here, and his uncle. And they said if he came up here, they knew he would be able to go to work. So we loaded up our two kids and drove up the highway.
Oh, the Alcan.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that was a real trip. And when we got here, we were supposed to have a trailer to move into, and it was supposed to be all cleaned and everything for us. Well, her idea of cleaning mine was quite far apart. And so it was so bad I took a knife and dug dirt out of the cabinets before I could put my shelf lining and stuff in and unpack. And here's a funny story. I cried for about the first week we were up here. And so my husband said, well, I'll send you back home, you and the kids back home. We had left our big trailer down there on consignment, and he said, we'll just call and tell them, don't sell it, just set it up. And I said, no. I married you for better or for worse, and it can't get any worse than this. So I stayed.
And how many years has that been?
We come up in 1958.
Yeah, so a few years.
A few years. And then he passed away in 1979, and everybody wanted me to go back to Ladysmith. Well, we had been up, we had been up here 20 some years. My life was up here now. So I said, no, I'm going to stay. And at that time, I was working at North Pole School teaching below grade level children in reading. In the DSTAR reading program, And so I stayed, and a couple of years later, I met Walter, and 7 years later, we were married, and I moved out on the homestead with him. But in the meantime, we had another boy that was born up here, so we had three children.
Okay.
Art and I had three children.
Okay.
So.
So the homestead is still there today.
Oh yes, it's where you know where this Taste of Alaska Lodge
right.
is? Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That was property adjacent to the homestead that his son bought and built the lodge. And the grandson Corey is now running the lodge. Yeah.
Okay. So did you continue to teach for quite some time, after, you know, when you got married?
When I married Walter?
Walter, yeah.
No, I had retired.
Oh, by then you had. Yeah. And had he?
He was retired from Alaska Airlines.
Oh, was he a pilot?
No, he was an airplane mechanic.
Oh, okay.
And so we traveled a lot. And that was one thing going for us, you know.
Right.
Neither one of us had any responsibilities. And
so how long were you and Walter married?
About 26 years.
Oh, okay.
And then he passed away in 2011.
So what are some of your fondest memories, I guess, whether they be in Alaska or, trips with your kids, or maybe they were trips that you and Walter took? Anything stick out in your mind?
Well, one thing was when we first came up here and didn't have a decent place to live, and then we got four lots in Six Mile Village, and if you know the area, you know that's not a real good area, but that's where we got our lots. And we got a trailer, and we put the trailer on there and then started building our home. And we went to put a well down, and we went 105 feet, I guess. I think it was. But we went through 85 feet of permafrost.
Oh.
The kids and I would get out there, pound and pound on the pipe and measure it. Maybe we would go a half an inch. And so we ended up getting Al shot to put the well down. But we had very good water.
So were you doing all that by hand? I mean, is that...
We were.
We
were, yeah. Until we decided we're not going anywhere.
Right.
Because we were in for permafrost. And that permafrost has nothing to do with the outside weather.
Mm-hmm.
When we got the well down, and it froze the middle of July, and we couldn't get a heat tape long enough to go down into the well to thaw the water. So he cut a hole in the wall and put a cord around a concrete block so that when it thawed, it would take it all down.
Oh, good thinking.
Yeah, and it was 50. And then the next time it froze, it was in December. And we pulled up the draw pipe and all that. And I'm standing outside with my Alaskan parka on, my fur and everything, and he's feeding me the draw pipe. And then we took it in to the house, and where did the other end of it landed? But right on our bed.
Oh.
And there it thawed.
Oh. Oh, whoops. So it made a mess.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but people don't, you know, you tell those stories back home, it means nothing to them because they can't imagine
our Alaska place.
Yeah, you have to be tough to live up here.
Yeah. So it brings up a good question. So do you think our weather is different today than when you first came? Do you think that there's more or less snow now?
Wow, the weather is much different.
I agree.
I remember when it was get down to 50 below and stay there for 2 or 3 weeks. And if it warmed up to 20 below, we went out and got more groceries.
Right.
And it we don't get as much snow as we used to. The last heavy snow I remember was in 1992, I think, when we had all that snow, when the birch trees all bent over and everything. Mm-hmm. I think that was 1992.
I think you're right.
Yeah, and we haven't had any bad weather like that.
Right.
And that now it gets 20 below, and oh, it's so cold.
Right. You know, I have to say I agree with you. You know, when you tell people, like back, you know, and I haven't been, well, I was born and raised here, but I haven't been here as long as you. And, you know, winter is totally different today than it was way back.
Yeah, well, you're not as old as I am. That's why you haven't been around so long.
Right, but I just think our winters and our weather is different than it used to be.
Remember when our tires used to freeze flat?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What brought you to Raven Landing? Why'd you decide to move here?
Well, when Walter and I married, it was a second marriage. We were both financially independent of each other, and we made an agreement early that if something happened to one of us, his stuff went to his kids, and my stuff went to my kids. And so when he passed, the house was left to his grandson, and I knew that. And I knew that I didn't intend to stay out on the homestead if he passed away. You know, you're out there, you're 3/4 of a mile or so off Chena Hot Springs Road, and the kids never would have kicked me out, but they would have to keep me shoveled out and made sure that the fires were going. You know, we basically used wood, and I wasn't going to have them feel responsible for me. So it was a easy move. So my oldest son and I just came over and looked at the place. They were having a meeting or something, and he suggested we come over. So we came over, and then Karen Parr said, would you like to look at one of the apartments? And I thought probably my son had something more interesting to do, and he said, yes, we do. So we looked at the apartments, and we agreed that I would move in here. It was better for, you know, when you're in town, I'm close to both of my sons, and it's a good place to be.
So is there a lot of things that go on here, like activity-wise, that you can get involved in if you choose?
If you choose, and if you don't choose, well,
okay too.
You don't, there's a lot of exercise programs, there's a lot of card playing and that, and movies every Thursday night, and if you want to. And if you don't want to, nobody pushes you.
So when do you remember, when did you move in here? What was the...
I moved in here February 2013, probably.
Okay.
He passed away November 2011.
Okay.
And I, you know, stayed out there that first year, but then moved.
Yeah. And this is nice centrally located, too.
Right.
It's just nice.
Right.
Is there anything else that you want to tell that you can think of?
Oh, I could probably think of a lot of things.
Right. I know that you are an avid bowler.
I used to be.
Right.
But because I have lost my vision practically, I can no longer bowl, and my balance isn't all that good. I had a stroke a couple years ago, a mild stroke, and that kind of took care of my balance. So I miss bowling, but I play bocce.
Oh,
we play that here at at Raven Landing.
I know you have some mean bocce tournaments, I guess.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, fun.
Well, that gets people out of their rooms where they don't. Some people come down just to watch us play, and some just come down and play and leave. And
yeah.
But I like to stay and cheer them on a little bit.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah. And one thing is, if you can get one of these buttons that you wear all the time and push it and somebody is there to help you, and I've had to use mine 3 times since I've been here.
Okay.
And they get an ambulance for you.
So that's nice, knowing that they're just a call away, you know, a button away.
Just a button away, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would your... So the final question that I have for you is, so what would you say, and maybe why, has been your favorite age so far?
My favorite what?
Your favorite age.
My favorite age?
So far. I am, right? So...
Whoa, that's a tough question.
No.
It certainly isn't 88 or 87 because I've lost my independence. Well, I guess while my children were growing up.
All the things that came with that.
Yeah.
Raising kids, right?
Yeah. And then I didn't go to work at North Pole until my youngest one was in school, and I started out just volunteering. Because I think that reading is very important. And so I started out just helping kids who were having trouble reading. And then the PEP program came on, the public employees program, where they hired people. And all the teachers wanted, and the principal wanted me to, you know, I was going down there every day. And my husband and I talked it over, and he said, "What's the problem?" And I said, "Well, it's full time." He said, "Well, you're down there 6 hours a day anyway, so," and he said, "You aren't going to make a whole lot of money, but you might pay your car expenses, you know." So the job had to be, all federal government journals have to be advertised, but the principal knew that I was the one. The teacher said, "You mean we have to have somebody come in? Because I could go in and just take the kids out of the class and not disturb her class at all. And not everybody can, not that I'm bragging, but not everybody can do that. And I could locate a lot of problems if kids were happy." But then when they started the DISTAR program, they wanted to start it in kindergarten. And I was very privileged to work with Robin McFetridge there, and she was a wonderful teacher. And then they did away with the PEP program, and it was 3/4 of a year through the year. And I couldn't walk away. And so one day they... reading specialist Mira Schlebach came down, and she said, "Marianne, are you still here?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Why?" I said, "I come in every day." And she said, "You can't do that." I said, "Yes, I can. Nobody tells me I can't come in and volunteer if I want to." She said, "You're too valuable for that." So she got me hired on at the reading clinic. So then that was a steady job. And then I worked until I was old enough to retire, and because I didn't have to work, I didn't need them. But so then I retired. And then Walter and I were married maybe 6 months after I retired.
Oh, okay.
Because I was free to, and we traveled a lot.
Where all did you travel?
We went to... Australia, New Zealand, Hawaii, and we went to a lot of his veteran reunions, and that was all over the States. And those were things that I would not have been able to do if I, you know, had not met and married him. His first wife passed away. And so, and we went to the dedication of the World War II Memorial. And a lot of people don't know that the World War II Memorial was built with donated money. The Vietnam, the Korean, that was built with federal money. But, and if you ever get a chance to go to Washington, D.C. and see the World War II Memorial, it is beautiful.
Oh, I bet.
It has a station with every, what do I want to say? Every area, like, he was in the CBI, every theater of the war. Mm-hmm. They had a station there. And they had one, a place for every state in the Union. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, and that.
So, that, you know, that's...
That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But it took a long time to get it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you want to add before we close for the day?
No, I've probably talked more than I should have already.
No, it's very exciting, and I really appreciate your willingness to be able to talk today to allow other folks to be able to hear your story. So thank you again.